Sandra Rose Takamatua Leivurko is with us today, QSO, I might add, former politician and diplomat, but mainly a lovely wahine who's now living in, well, down Whakatane ways. And I've asked Sandra if we might just reflect on the changing situation, the makeup, the gender balance that we've achieved in New Zealand Parliament. It's quite a milestone. And Sandra, I was asking Claudette earlier today whether she knew of any other countries where we have this sort of 50-50 gender split. She said maybe up in one of those Nordic countries, but not that she is aware of. Maybe you are. Thanks for joining us on the program. Te tuhine, tēnā koe, Sandra.
Morena.
Kia ora. Do you know of any other parliaments where there might be a 50-50 gender split?
No, I think, not to my knowledge, I think New Zealand has, thanks to MMP in no small part, long been leading the charge on this. For me, it's incredible, Dale, because I entered Parliament under first past the post in 1993, and women were few and far between, and Māori women fewer still, as you may recall. So we're halfway there now. Just the other 50% of women to take over the rest of Parliament, and we might have better politics.
Well, you might not have so many wars. There's been a lot of talk of that nature, although we know that Wahine too can be feisty, as we should. But what do women bring into the parliamentary environment, do you think? I mean, I know many are, not all, but many are nurturers by virtue of the fact they've been mums, so there's a sort of skill set that they take into the mix that does need to be acknowledged. But what do you see as some of the benefits of having an equal gender split in our modern parliamentary representation?
Well, in my long experience in politics, I do know that women can be as ferocious as men. They can be quite linear sometimes in their thinking like men. They can be lacking in objectivity when it comes to things like party loyalty over the common good. But, and it's a big but, women do think differently. And from my observation all of those years, I do believe that women are more prepared, generally speaking, to work collegiately. It's very, very apparent on select committees, for example. The way that Louisa Wall, as a backbench MP on the opposition benches, was able to get through some remarkable legislation across the line against the odds, spoke to her ability to be unafraid to cross party lines to lobby. So women do think differently, and I think not so much as nurturers, but women can be very intuitive in terms of how they perceive issues and arguments in a way that is different from men. So I think it's wonderful that we have reached a point in New Zealand's parliament, first country to give women the vote, that we have a 50-50% split now. But Dale, as you know, I'm a great-grandmother these days, and along with that success, just looking at the local body elections throughout New Zealand this time, but not just the local body elections, one thing I passionately aspire to is, as we carefully watch the numbers of males versus females being elected, I think we also need to scrutinise very carefully the opportunities and chances for our young ones to get elected. Britain's just sworn in their youngest ever, I think, Prime Minister. Sunak is 44. But if you look at our councils throughout New Zealand, I think the Auckland councils, the majority of councillors are over the age of 60, and the new mayor at 77 is, dare I say, a geriatric. So I hope we aspire as vigorously to make space in political organisations and forums for the voice of our young ones to come through, as we have for women.
Tēnā koe. And I'm pleased you touched on this new bloke, although we know that Liz Truss only lasted 44 days, and it's pretty complex. Seemingly he's a maybe Harvard-educated guy, and he's richer than the Queen, him and his wife. But anyway, you know, how he got to amass some that significant fortune's not the focus of our kōrero. He's a black guy. Maybe that needs to be acknowledged too. So we've had Barack Obama in the States, and for the very first time, a man of colour has taken the reins. And if he lasts long or short, it doesn't matter. He goes down in history. As you say, the youngest ever, but obviously the brownest ever.
Indeed. And, you know, this guy is no radical. He's a conservative. He's filthy rich. You know, this is not the revolution. But it's about time, too, because we know that the demographics of Britain now has changed dramatically over the decades, and people of colour have been not represented at a political level to any great degree. And even the Brixton riots all those years ago that were investigated by a Privy Council law lord, Judge Scarman, he pointed out that all the laws of Britain evolved, particularly the common law, for a society that was totally monocultural. It was white. That's just how it was for centuries in the United Kingdom. So the law, and indeed the lawmakers in Parliament, were not representative of what modern Britain looks like. So I think that there will be many people who may not support his politics necessarily, but we'll certainly see that a English person of Indian descent can become the Prime Minister of a country as a sign of changes coming for the good.
Sandra, thanks for your observations, and all the best with the whānau. So the brood is growing, obviously, and now you've got a couple of generations to attend to, Nana.
I do. Isn't it funny, Dale? I grew up with my great-grandfather, who was born in 1874, and now I'm a great-grandmother myself. So like a lot of our people, you get to look back at the tūpuna and then onto your descendants, and it's a pretty special place to be.
I reckon so too, Sandra. It's great talking with you each time we get a chance. Thanks very much for sharing some kōrero with us.
Go ahead, Dale.
Yummy.
Thank
you, Sandra. Sandra Lee with us. One of the most astute political observers and commentators I've been.